The end of the second wide line. Tanya Kava Seder Rav Chisda. So, we saw Machlokes yesterday how it works with feces. You're not allowed to daven in the presence of feces. Now the truth is, as we said last time, there are three rules that we have to keep in mind. And we're going to be working it all out as we go along. There are three principles when we're dealing with feces during davening. You're not allowed to daven in the presence of feces. You're not allowed to daven when there's feces in view. And you're not allowed to daven when there's a bad smell. Now the three will often go together, but let's keep in mind that these are three separate principles which will often overlap, but they're three separate principles which can come into play in different ways at different times.
Is it bad smell? What is it? Bad view, bad smell?
Now, you can have feces in view, in proximity, the two are not necessarily the same thing, we'll see, or that you smell it. Okay? So now, we saw machloikis. How far do you have to distance yourself from feces? So Rav Huna said 4 amos. Once you're 4 amos away, it's not called in your proximity anymore. That's in a case where you don't see it. It's behind you. Okay? And Rav Chisda said, no, you have to be 4 amos away from where the smell ends. Which means Rav Chisda is saying, 4 amos away from where the smell ends. If the smell ends, you have to be 4 amos away from there. Meaning, it's not enough to be not be in the 4 amos of feces. You have to not be in the 4 amos of the smell of feces. So now, Tanya Kava Seder Rav Chisda. Rav Abrais is supporting Rav Chisda. He's the one who said you have to be 4 amos away from where the smell ends. Lo yikra odom kriyashma, lo keneged tzayas odom. A person is not allowed to daven kriyashma in the presence of man's feces, the loy keneged tzayas klavim, nor in the presence of dog feces, the loy keneged tzayas chazirin, or in the presence of pig feces, the loy keneged tzayas tarnegolin, or in the presence of chicken feces. We'll discuss all these things and how they apply practically. The loy keneged ashpa shirei chora, or in the presence of a garbage that has a bad smell. Now here let's note, the Gemara is talking here about davening in their presence.
Yeah, the presence of the garbage is only the smell. Let's say you have a garbage which you can't really smell it, but you know it's there. You can see the. Let's say there was a garbage can over here but it doesn't make an odor.
Oh. So really, what's the point here of a garbage? What's a garbage can? Let's say you have a garbage can.
Stuff in it.
Yes. Yeah, so it depends what there is. There's a lot of used disposables. That's not garbage. When we say garbage, we mean something that's inherently foul. Which basically, the way we put it the other day is, this is how the person can put it: any product of decay. A classic example being a dead animal. Let's say any product of decay has the halachic status of tzayah, feces.
Let's say you apply the for Shabbos. You have plastic. Let's say you use plastic and gas. Then you throw it out in the garbage. You have meat in there, you have chicken, you have...
Once it starts decaying, it's a problem.
Even if you can't smell it.
Oh, so if you can't smell it, that's basically...
It's wrapped up in the plastic.
If it's wrapped up in the plastic, as we'll see soon, then it's already covered. Once...
Wrapped in plastic.
What's that?
You mean?
It's wrapped in plastic. You talked about the case, you took a whole plastic tablecloth, wrapped it
all up.
And you threw it out. So again, once... We'll see soon. Once the filth is covered and there's also no smell, then it's okay. It can't be in your presence, which means that you're in the same 4 amos, but it's unexposed. But it's exposed. It's supposed to mean that you're in the presence of exposed filth, be it feces or be it some other product of decay. It can't be in the presence of exposed filth. Once it's covered up, that's fine. So therefore, if you're in the presence of either any of these things, you're not allowed to recite Divrei Kedusha, even if there's no smell. And again, when it's not covered, it's there, but there's no, so you don't smell anything. However, if it's 10 tefachim above or below you, you're allowed to sit right there and say Kriya Shema, because then it's considered to be in a different place. Like we've often seen in other areas of Halacha, the 10 Tefachim is considered as a different domain, a different area. So once it's at a height or depth of 10 Tefachim, you're distanced from it by a height of 10 Tefachim, it's not called with you. And therefore, as long as there's no smell, it's not called that you're in the presence, and it's okay.
Even if that was a dog, even if that was a human feces?
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Yeah, as long as there's no smell, once it's 10 Tefachim above or below you, it's okay. What's that?
Below your feet.
No, it means that the ground that you're on and the ground that it's on are one is elevated above the other 10 tefachim.
That's like a different
root. Right, exactly. It's a different reshus, right? For Shabbos purposes, for all the purposes, it's a different reshus. It's a different area.
Even at the beginning.
What's that?
Even at the beginning.
Oh.
If it's on a bila 10 tefachim high, then that's much nearer your nose than the lower floor.
1 minute. So, but again, we stipulated this is only if you don't smell it. Is only if you don't smell it. But you said that it's nearer to you, but I thought you were saying that it's near it to you. There's another question you have to address. Again, what if you smell it, there's nothing to talk about. The whole discussion here is when you don't smell it, right? In which the problem is that it's in your presence. We're saying that once it is 10 tefachim above or below where you are, it's not in your presence anymore. Even though it's closer to you, it's not in your presence anymore, it's in a different place. What happens if you could see it?
If it's in the kitchen and you're sitting at the dining room table and you can see it.
Oh, same question. Right? It's the same question. Why is it the same question? Because 10 tefachim above is considered to be in a different place. If it's behind the wall, it's also considered to be in a different place. What happens if it's in a different place and you can see it? That's already machlokes
hapoiskim. You see it through a window?
If it's through a glass window, that's okay. But because lamaisa, it's covered. We'll see that later in the Gemara. But what happens if you can see it directly? Like you said, you're sitting at the table, it's on the table. I got a dirty diaper on the table. Open dirty diaper. Okay, on the table. Say, 10 tefachim away. But you could see it. So that's a machlokes hapoiskim. If the fact that it's in a different place helps, if you could see it.
So the same machlokes if it's vertically 10 tefachim higher or lower versus down almost horizontally away from you?
Same question.
Same.
No. Down and Amos away, if it's actually level with you, as long as it's within view,
as long as you see
it's definitely
it
a problem.
Far football fields.
Yeah, yeah. As long as it's in the same place. Right? But the question here is if it's in a different room, or if it's on a different level, that's a machloikis hapoiskim. The Shulchan Aruch cites both opinions, and it's better to try to follow the stringent opinion. But in different cases of necessity, we are makel to say that once it's in a different place, meaning higher or lower or in a different room, it's okay. Even if you're
on top of a mountain peak and you can see below 11 tefachim, you can see feces, it's not a problem.
Well, then it would be the same machloikas. Better to be stringent since you can see it, but if there's a need or whatever it is, there's room to be makel.
All you have to do is turn around.
Right. The question is, what happens with the Mizrach, the one facing Mizrach, right?
But since we're coming up to Sukkot, you shouldn't have garbage bail in the Sukkot.
Right, that's even besides these halakhas, just because of the covet of the Sukkot. In general, even if you're not saying the Rekdusha, don't keep garbage in the Sukkot.
When we say seeing, do we mean that you have the line of sight from your eyes? Meaning, when your eyes are closed.
Ah.
Is that so-called seeing?
So lamaisa seeing, when we say it's within view, it means within view theoretically. Meaning,
so
as long as
now.
It's within eye shot, I don't know how you say that.
Right.
Hey, is it ear shot? But as long as it's within eye shot.
Subjective, your person.
So here it's not. It's with, if a normal person would be able to see it in normal circumstances. Meaning, let's say you can't see it because it's dark. Straight ahead of you, but you can't see it because it's dark. That doesn't help. Or, a person can't see well. Blind man. He's got 10 feet ahead of him, this feces. Doesn't help. As long as it's within view objectively, that's a problem. Now, ve'im lav, if it's not 10 tefachim above or below, if it's right ahead of you, malchik lo'enov, it has to be out of your view.
Now, for example, that the Gemara gives, in other words, any other animal
We'll see. We're going to discuss that. We'll see coming up. And this is very relevant. It could be very relevant. I went well something Chafetz Chaim for Shabbos, and in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim, and there I went to daven very early in the morning when the air was very clear. You clearly smelled the barns. The dung from the animals in the fields and the barns.
Depending on the way the wind blows,
right.
They
write
to
start crossing. Yeah, there's a lot of areas you could be like, or like Nechemi pointed out the other night, sometimes when they fertilize an area, anywhere in the vicinity, you're going to be smelling the stuff. So let's see. So now, Vechen the Tefillah, the same goes for Tefillah, Kriya Shema Tefillah. Now, Reach Rashi Yesh Lo Yikar, if you're in the presence of a bad smell that's emanating from something, meaning there's feces there, or some dead animal or some other source of decay. Marchik dalet amis mim koimar reach. You have to distance yourself 4 amis from where the smell ends, the kore kriyashma. Then you say kriyashma. So let's just sum up the rules here. Again, 3 principles. Can't be in your presence, can't be within view, and you can't be and you can't smell it. So therefore, within view means that if it's ahead of you, no matter how far it is, it's a problem. If it's not ahead of you, if it's behind you, let's say, or off to the side, you have to be 4 amis away. Even then, you have to make sure that you don't smell it. If the smell is actually going past 4 amis, you have to be 4 amis away from where the smell ends. Okay. Now, Omar Rava, so now we're just going to go back to address which feces. This is what the old man is. Which feces are a problem? So this Bryce has said, man's feces, dogs, pigs, and chicken. So Omar Rava says, Les hilchasek yomas nisa. The halacha does not follow this Bryce that unequivocally prohibited the feces of man, dog, pig, and chicken. Eloki hobitanya. Rather, halacha follows the following Bryce. Says, Lo yikra adam kriya shema. You're not allowed to recite Kriya Shema. Lo yikeneged tzeas adam. Not in the presence of human feces. Fine. Kama. Now, Velo yikeneged tzeas chazirin. Velo yikeneged tzeas klovim. And you're also not allowed to recite Kriya Shema in the presence of dog or pig feces. Bizman shenosan oiris leteichon. If they put skins into it. Meaning as follows. Dog and pig feces is not as foul as human feces. And therefore, in and of itself, it's not a problem. In and of itself.
Even within the 4 animals.
What's that?
Is it even within the 4 animals?
Yeah. Even within the 4 animals. However, what they would do, they would use them for tanning. They would put hides into, they would use feces for tanning, manure. And that really generates a terrible stench. So, when is dog and pig feces a problem? When there's actually hides being tanned in it. Only then is it a problem. Otherwise, dog and pig feces is not a problem. Okay, so if so, what we're coming out with is this talk about halacha, that actually, most animals' feces is not a problem.
Even though it smells bad.
Ah, so here it depends. It depends on how bad it smells. This is kind of vague. But basically, it depends on whether it's what people would call tolerable or not. I mean, human feces has one of the worst smells of all. Other times, it really depends on the situation. That's where the mice and the place can put it down. That might be right. The way the Mishnah brings it from the place game is shederach v'nodam leitzta'ar mina. Would people be disturbed by it? So this is kind of subjective. But therefore, for example, I think that, for example, in the case of, like we said before, you smell barns from a distance. I don't know how disturbing that is to people. It's not such a terrible smell. Okay, it could be that I'm a little more, maybe I'm not so sensitive. But it seems to me that people can go into barns. People go to zoos. People go places. Go to petting zoos. You smell this stuff. It's nishkefeluch. It's not the end of the world. It's not like a baby's diaper, right? So it really depends. With all these other animals, if the smell is taka offensive, it's a problem. If the smell is nishkefela, not so bad, it's okay. So that also, I think, is a hetter for these fertilizer situations, etc. Seems to me that in these cases, the smell is not who knows what. Now let's note, I'm just making another couple of points. So yes, the Pesuk can say that this is generally the rule. All other animals, cattle, etc., is not inherently a problem. It just depends. If it has a bad, an offensive smell, then it's a problem. If not, not. There are a few exceptions to the rule. One of them, what we saw before, was chickens. Right? The Raisa did not retract what it said about chickens. So therefore, chickens' manure is more of a problem. However, the place can say that if you're just talking about one chicken, in those days they had chickens running around the house. Right? There's obviously droppings all over the place. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about chickens in a coop where it's concentrated. It's a lot of it. That taco has a terrible smell. That's one understanding. Other understanding that place can say is that we're not talking about typical chickens. Yerushalmi actually says that we're talking about red. What does red mean? The place can, we're not quite sure. Yerushalmi says chicken manure is a problem, but only if it's red. What's red? So some place can say it means when they excrete red manure, that manure is especially offensive. But other place can say, this is all botan halacha. We follow all these different understandings. That A, if there's a lot of it in the coop, it's a problem. B, if it's red manure. C, some say that no, we're talking about red chickens. What are red chickens? It means turkeys. Turkeys apparently, that I already never smelled, but turkeys apparently have a more offensive excrement than regular chickens, and therefore the place can say that turkeys' manure per se is just like, has the same status as man's manure. Okay, what's that? What's that? Apparently the time of Yerushalmi. Yeah, that's according to how some place can understand it.
Are there any turkeys there?
So I don't know if this is exactly
discovered that in America.
Right. I'm not sure. It's all discussion. Were there? Weren't there? I'm not sure if it's talking. Practically, it's understood as referring to turkeys. The Mishavura calls it an English hen. Does anybody know what that is? Anybody hear such a thing?
Chicken.
An English hen.
It's a big chicken.
Yeah, that's simply a big chicken, or an indik. He says it's called in Yiddish. Anybody?
No.
Indik. So I don't know. I don't know what that is. But the Poiskin, like my contemporary Poiskin, relate this way to turkeys. Okay. Also, in certain circumstances, donkey manure is considered to be more offensive than other animals. Also, the Poiskin say, donkey manure, when it's loose, is considered to be more offensive, and also is a problem. Okay, as far as we're concerned, generally speaking, animals' manure is only a problem if lemaisit's emitting an offensive smell. Okay. Now, Bamu minei Rav Sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes, Reach ra she'ein lo ikar mahu, a bad smell that is not emanating from a specific source. What's the halacha there? Meaning, what he's referring to is if a person passed wind, there's no object that it's emanating from. What's the halacha? Are you allowed to recite the Kedusha when you smell wind passed by a person? Omalu, so he answered, Asu chazu hani tzifi de beirav. Look at the common practice on these mats that they have in the yeshiva. The hani ganu vahani garsi. They would have mats in the Beis Medrash that the students would take naps on. When a person takes a nap, often we have a bunch of people sleeping, people are going to be passing wind. Yet nobody ever refrained from learning around them. So therefore we see that no, it's okay to learn when there's a bad smell given off by someone who passed the wind. Now, yet the Gemara qualifies this. V'hani mili b'divrei Torah. But that's only for learning. Aval b'kriya shma loy. But not for kriya shma. Learning is allowed when you smell this. But you smell wind. But kriya shma is not. Why should that be? The answer is that really, such a smell is not asur midaraisa, it's only asur midarabanan. And therefore, the Chachamim were machmir when it comes to Kriya Shema, which is just an issue of saying it once, you can either wait for the smell to go away or step outside. But when you're talking about learning, which it's going to get cumbersome, you're going to have to stop every time and go outside every time, etc., it's going to cause too much bitul Torah, the Chachamim were makom. And also, even when it comes to Divrei Torah, we say this only Elo Dechavrei, if it's an odor that somebody else gave off Aval didei loy. But if it's an odor that the person himself gave off, it's asr. So the bottom line is that there are two conditions for it to be mutter. It's only if it's an odor coming from somebody else, and for divrei Torah. For any other divrei kedusha, it's always asr, and an odor that a person gave off himself, it's asr to even learn. Lamaisa, the place can say that a person who feels like he's going to have to give off should not daven unless he feels that he can manage to hold himself back until he finishes.
Why? Because he'll asr everyone else? Or
No. Just because of the covet of davening. A person should refrain from davening if he feels that he'll have to pass winds during davening.
So what do you do if you're like davening in the middle of the Amida and then you smell someone else's gas?
You have to stop. You have to stop and wait for the smell to pass.
Can you actually step back?
Step away? I don't think so. What we have to do is you just have to wait for the smell to pass. Now, we'll also note that, the place can say this is important to realize because it might not feel that this is an issue. Yet, if a person is in a situation where he can't, he gives off winds. And if you're going to tell him not to daven, if he's going to be giving off wind, he'll never be able to daven. So then, of course, you do daven, and if you do give off wind, you wait for it to pass. But generally, one should try to avoid this during davening. Okay. So I just want to make a couple of more points. La halacha, let's say you have a baby's diaper. So a baby's diaper, when it's giving off smell, it's giving off the smell. So you have feces that's giving off the smell, right? You smell the baby's diaper. So let's talk about two cases. If you don't actually smell it, then it's certainly okay, because once it is wrapped up, it's in the garbage. Once it's covered, as we said before, if the feces is covered and you also don't smell it, it's certainly okay. If you do smell it, then as we said before, nothing helps. The fact that you covered it doesn't help, etc. As long as you can actually smell human feces, it's awesome. The same goes for garbage cans. If the garbage can is giving off a bad odor, which will generally be the result of decay, that's what makes a garbage smell, right? So as long as you're smelling it, you can't recite the Kedusha. Okay. Itma. Now we have the following discussion. Soya oiveres. What happens if a person is standing somewhere and there's feces or excrement being carried by? Someone is carrying by a chamber pot. Abaya Omar Mutar Likros Kriya Shema. Abaya says, if you're standing and there's excrement passing by, you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. Rava Omar also Likros Kriya Shema. Rava says it's awesome. Omar Abaya, what's the idea for this? Why should it be Mutar if it's passing by? Lamai sits in your presence. So Abaya says, Mina Minala. What's my basis for saying that it's Mutar if it's feces passing by in motion? Now, we find such a concept regarding Tumah that, yes, if you're standing somewhere and something else is passing by, it's not considered to be in your presence. How's that? We know that the halacha is that just like Tumas Meis, a Mitzoira conveys Tumas Oyel. Meaning, if you're in the same, under the same roof as a Mitzoira, you become Tumah. What's that? Yeah, it's like you touched the mitzvah. So now, what happens if you have a tummy, a mitzvah standing under a tree, v'hatahar oiver, and the tahar person walks by, tummy, he's tummy, because since the tummy person is stationary, that area is considered a tummy area. However, tahar oimed tachasayim. If a taller person is standing under the tree, v'tamei oiver, and a mitzayra walks by, tahar, the taller person remains tahar, because that place is not called the tamei place. A tamei person walks by in motion. Walking by in motion doesn't turn it into his place. We've seen this concept earlier. And therefore, the taller person remains tahar. So Abaya says, now, ve'im amad tamei. However, if the tamei person stood still under the tree, it does become a tamei area, and the Torah person will become tamei. Right. Pause. Yeah.
Maybe for like a second.
Yeah. Now, v'chein be'even hamnugas. The same thing goes for a metzaira stone, right? You know, sometimes homes got metzaira, got tzara. So the same goes for a metzaira stone. That also has the same deal. So whatever it is, Abaye is saying that you see that when something is in motion, it's not called that it's in this area, right? As long as the tummy person is in motion, it's not called that you are together with the tummy person. So too with excrement. If excrement is being carried past you, it's not called that it's in your place. And Rabbi says, no. There it's different, because there the Torah specifically says that it depends on whether the tummy person is stationed in one spot. Because it says, Badog Yeshev Michut Samachan Moshav. It says the top Metzaira should sit outside the camp. He should sit, establish himself there. When he establishes himself there, then it's called his place. But if he's just walking by, it's not called his place. Hacha, but here it's got nothing to do with whether you establish yourself there or not. The Torah says that the place that you are in has to be pure. And if there's excrement passing by, it's not pure.
At that moment, or?
At that moment, yeah, it means at that moment. So therefore, no. Certainly, excrement passing by is the same as any other excrement. You are not allowed to recite the Rekdusha in the presence of excrement in motion. Okay. Omar Rav Papa, a new din. Rav Papa says, Pi chazir, the mouth of a pig, kitzaya oyveres dami. You have a pig walks by, that's like excrement walking by, because the pigs are always rolling in the slops, which is basically soya, right? So mouth of a pig is always considered feces in motion. So, obviously anybody who's familiar with pigs knows that their mouths are always dripping with good stuff. So the Gemara says, Loi tzricha. No, what we need to stress this is afal gav desolik menara. Even if you see it coming from the river, it just went into the river for a swim, washed out its mouth. So you might think now it's clean. No, the mouth is considered inherently filthy, and you're never allowed to recite the Rekdusha in the presence of a pig's mouth. Okay. Omer Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda gets on to another discussion. Up till now we were talking about excrement. Where does urine fit into all this? We didn't really discuss it. So he says the rules are not exactly the same. Safik tzayasur. Certainly, you're not allowed to recite the Rekdusha in the presence of urine, just as with feces. Yet there are differences. What are the differences? So he says safik tzayasur. When you are in a question of uncertainty, when you have a situation where you're not sure whether there's feces here, you're not allowed to recite the Rekdusha. Safik meraglayim utar. But when there's a question of urine, you're allowed to. We're meiko when there's a safik of urine. Ikedamri, others say as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda. Similar idea, but a little different. Safik tsoya babayis muteres. Even when it comes to excrement, if a question comes up in the house, you're not sure if there's excrement somewhere, we say it's smutah because you can generally assume that there is an excrement inside the house. But if it's out in a garbage pile, you're not sure maybe there's excrement here, it's asur. Safik me'aglayin. However, when there's a question about urine, afilu be'ashpa nami mutarin. Even if it's in a garbage pile where it is likely to be, it's mutar. Meaning, anytime it's in question, anytime it's not definite, you're allowed to be makel. Why is that? So he lays down a fundamental principle about these things. Sovar lo ki hoder Rav Hamnuna. He holds like what Rav Hamnuna said. To Omar Rav Hamnuna, lo asu atayro elo keneged amud bilvan. It's as follows. We already know that the issur of reciting Divrei Kedusha in the presence of excrement is d'oraisa. That's excrement. But when it comes to urine, there's also an issur d'oraisa. But the issur d'oraisa is only when the urine is actually coming down from the body. Once it's on the floor, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. Okay, the Rabbi Yenison. Rabbi Yenison showed this. The Rabbi Yenison Rami. Rabbi Yenison posed the contradiction between psukim. When the Pasuk Taka tells us, you have to make sure that anywhere where Divrei Torah is going on has to be pure, The way the Torah puts it is, the assumption is that anywhere where Jews are, generally Divrei Torah is going to be going on. Divrei Kedusha is going to be going on. And therefore, if you have to excrete, excrement, or urine, you have to leave the area. That's how the Torah puts it, right? So the Torah says as follows. V'yad tia l'chav michutz l'machane. You should have an area outside the camp. V'yatzasav sham achutz. And you go there to relieve yourself. That's all. You go there to relieve yourself. As long as you went outside, it's okay. Maybe someone will later come and recite Divrei Kedusha there. We don't care about that. We'll see. See, but then there's another pasuk that says, no, it's not enough to just go away from where people are. V'yased tia l'cha al azeinecha. You should have a spike, like a little stick on your waist. V'chisisa se'asecha. When you leave people's company to relieve yourself, if you defecate, you have to then dig a hole and cover the excrement. So one pasuk just says, go away from people, do it there, and then it's okay. Another pasuk says, no, after doing it, you have to cover it. How do we resolve the apparent conflict? Do you have to cover it or not? One pasuk implies you don't have to cover it, the other implies that you do. Okay, so how do we resolve this? Kan bigdoilin, kan bigtani. It depends if you defecated or urinated. If you defecated, the feces is a problem for people who are later going to come here, and therefore you have to cover it up. If you urinated, no. People later come here and want to say things, it's fine. The only thing is, when you're actually urinating, there should be no Divrei Kedusha going on. So from here we derive that that when it comes to urine, the Issa D'Oraisa is only to recite Divrei Kedusha when the urine is actually coming out of the body. But once it's on the floor, it's not a problem, and therefore it doesn't have to be covered, Mid'Oraisa. Alma, so you see, that Ketanim Lo Yasva Torah Elo Keneged Amud Bilvad. That when it comes to urine, the Torah prohibits it only while it's actually coming out of the body. That's when it's also to recite the Divrei Kedusha in the presence of urine. Once it's on the floor, there's no Issa D'Oraisa, unlike feces. Hanafula Ara, once it's already on the ground, Shari. It's mutter mitirabbanan to recite the Divrei Kedusha there. Verabbanan hu degazu. And it's the Chachamim who prohibited it. The Issa is only derabbanan. So yeah, in the presence of feces of lying on the ground, it's d'oraisa. In the presence of urine lying on the ground, it's only d'rabbanan. Therefore we explain, when did the Chachamim prohibit reciting the Divrei Kedusha in the presence of urine? Bivadon, when there's definite urine there. Aval b'sfeikon, when it's a suffix, loy gazur, there's no such gezeira. So therefore, again, like we said before, when there's a shaila, when there's a suffix about feces, you have to be machmir, because that's a question of d'oraisa. When there's a question about urine, you can be mekel, because any urine that's not actually coming out of the body, so once it's on the floor, it's only d'rabbanan. Okay, so that's that. Now, having established that, now that we established that the Isser reciting the Divrei Kedusha in the presence of urine is d'rabbanan, we want to know how far does the concept of in the presence of urine extend. Ubevadon ad kama. When there is definite urine there, up till when is it prohibited to say that? Meaning after a while it gets absorbed in the ground, right? So until when is it also to recite the Divrei Kedusha in the presence of urine? Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Kol zman shematpich, as long as it's wet. Once it's not wet anymore, even though you could still see the mark on the ground, it's permitted to recite the Divrei Kedusha. V'chein Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yirchanon, he also said, Kol zman shematpich. The Isser applies as long as it's wet. V'chein Omar Ula Kol zman shematpich. Ula also said, the Isser applies only as long as it's wet. Once it's not wet anymore, even though the mark is still there, it's mutter to recite the Divrei Kedusha. Geniva mishmei derav omar. Geniva said in the name of Rav, calls manchur ishuma nika. No, even after it's not wet anymore, as long as the mark is still there, as long as you can still see the mark, it's aser.
The mark on the urine?
Yeah. Omar, so he's being machmir, right? He's saying even after it's not wet, as long as you still see it, it's aser. Amar Av Yosef. Av Yosef said, Shara le morei le geniva. May Hashem forgive geniva for saying this. This is definitely not true. It can't be that once urine is dried up but you still see the stain, it's awesome. Hashtotsoya. Amar Av Yehuda Amar Rav. Even when it comes to feces, which is more severe, feces is doraisa. Yet Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kivon shekarmu paneho muta. Once its surface kind of glazed over, right? After it's been sitting for a while, it kind of glazes over. So once it glazed over, it's mutter, even though it's mamish, still excrement, still there.
It's more mekel.
What's that?
So
if we're so mekel about feces, it can't be that we're more strict with urine. Urine is only derabanan. And for, even with feces, we say that once it's glazed over, it's already mutter. So, do we have to say that this is certainly so for urine? Certainly once it's not wet anymore, it's certainly no more severe than excrement which glazed over. So if excrement which glazed over is okay, urine, which you still see the stain but it's not wet anymore, is certainly okay. Omar le Abaye. So Abaye said, 1 minute, we're working here with parallels between urine and feces, right? He says, you're saying, it can't be that dry urine is awesome, because glazed feces is already mutter. Who said that glazed feces is mutter? Why are you relying on that statement? I'll give you a different statement about feces, which is much more l'chumra. The Omar Rav Ravuna, Omar Rav, Soya afilu kicheres asura. Feces, even when it's already like clay, it's already all dried out, it's still asur. So yes, you see that feces could be also even when it's mamish dried out. So therefore, the same might be true about urine. Ve'chidami tzoya kecheres. What do we mean by clay-like feces? Up till which point is it also? At some point, the mamish just disintegrates into dust. So up till which point is dried feces also? Omar Rabba Baba Chana Omar Rabbi Yechanan. As long as you can throw it and it won't fall apart, it's still considered feces. Even though it's dry, if you can throw it and it won't fall apart, it's still considered feces. Some others are more machmir. Even if you throw it, it'll fall apart. But if you were just to roll it, if it wouldn't fall apart, that's still called feces. So we have much more stringent versions as to the extent that feces is awesome. Now we have a shita saying that even if it's completely dried up, as long as it hasn't mamish fallen apart, mamish crumbled, it's still awesome. So if so, urine might also be awesome even once it's dry. So what's the halacha here? It's still not so clear. So again, let's just sum up. We saw a lot of back and forth, but let's sum up. On urine, we have two shitas. One says it's only asur as long as it's wet. Once it's dry, it's okay. The other shita says even after it's dry, it's asur as long as you can still make it out, as long as the stain is still there. That's as far as urine goes. As far as feces goes, we have three shitas. We have the shita that says once it glazes over, it's okay. And then we have the shita that says that even when it's dry, it's a problem. This breaks into two shitas. One says as long as you throw it and it stays in one piece, and the other says as long as you roll it and it stays in one piece. But once it mamish starts crumbling, it's mutter. Omar Abin, so what's the halacha here? Both with urine and with feces. Havakayimne kamei der Rav Yehuda Midifti. I was once in the presence of Rav Yehuda Midifti. Chazat tzoya. And he saw feces. Omali. And he told me, Ayin ikarmu paneo. Go check if it glazed over. Meaning, he was making. As long as it's glazed over, it's okay. Just make sure it's glazed over. Ikedahami. Others say, Hachi Amale. What he told him was, Ayein imefale afluye. Go check if it already has cracks in it. Meaning when it mamish dries out, it starts getting cracks in it. So according to this version, he was machmir. He said, even after it's dry, it's also until it's mamish crumbling. My havi alma. So what's the bottom line halacha here? So still a machlokes. Tzoya kecheres, itmas. So we have this debated. Tzoya kecheres. Once you have dried out feces, like clay. Amemar omar asura. Amemar says it's also even after it's dry. Mazuta omar muteres. Mazuta says no, once it's dry, it's muter. So what's the bottom line halacha? Omar rove. Hilchis tzoyo kicheres asura. The halacha is that feces, even when it's dry, is asur until it's mamish crumbled. And that's takada halacha. Feces is a problem even after it's dried out. When it comes to urine, we're more mekel. It's only usher as long as it's wet. Once it's dried out, it becomes water, even if the stain is still there. Okay, we'll stop here. Here we're going to ready. Then next, the Gemara is going to get into that whole discussion of urine. But we concluded about feces. Okay.